From Spark and Anvil and Stageforge, this is Face, in Chapter 1 of the Stageforge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
In the middle of the empty rehearsal room, a mockingbird tween named Face was busy being an old, tired traveler. She hadn't put on a costume. She just let her voice drop low and slow, let her shoulders slump like they were carrying a heavy pack, and let something weary settle into her eyes. When she took a step, she took it like her feet hurt. A younger bird watching from the doorway forgot for a second that this was Face at all. 50 years I've walked, Face rasped, gazing at nothing. My wings remember every mile. Then she straightened up, blinked, and grinned, and she was just Face again, small and warm gray, in her worn rehearsal cardigan. How did you do that? The younger bird said. You didn't even change your feathers. Face picked up the little mirror she kept on a string around her neck and turned it so they could both see her face in it. Voice, body, and the feeling on the inside, she said. That's all. I made my voice old, I made my body tired, and I let myself feel like I really had walked all those miles. She shrugged. Then I gave it back and turned back into me. So you were pretending? No, Face said gently. Pretending is standing outside a thing and faking it. This is going inside it. For a little while, I actually become the traveler. She tapped the mirror. The mirror isn't so I can admire myself. It's so I can watch it happen, watch my own face turning to someone else's.
Face came from a whole family of mockingbirds, and in the Songbird Village, that meant one thing. Her family could take on any other bird's song. When she was small, she thought that was just a trick, a funny party thing. She'd copy the robin's whistle, and everyone would laugh, and she'd feel a little hollow afterward, like she'd only made a good copy of something that wasn't really hers. One evening, her grandfather caught her sighing about it. You think you're just copying, he said, faking the robin. Aren't I? He shook his head slowly. When you sing the robin song, do you feel the robin's mourning? The cold air, the hunt for the first worm, the wanting? Face went quiet, because she did, a little. When she made the whistle, some small part of her felt bright and hungry and up early, without her deciding to. That's not copying, her grandfather said. A machine copies. You become. For as long as the song lasts, a bit of you is the robin from the inside out. He smiled. That's not lying, little one. That's the oldest, kindest kind of attention there is. You have to understand someone so well you can carry their mourning in your own chest. The hollow feeling went away that night and never quite came back. Becoming someone else wasn't a hollow trick anymore. It was a way of paying deep, warm attention, and that she could be proud of.
She walked to Stageforge at 12, because a place that studied the stage ought to understand the craft of becoming. Curtin, the mentor of the gate, didn't ask her to perform anything grand. He asked one question. What is acting? Face didn't just answer with words. She let her voice go high and quick, bounced up onto her toes, and put a bright, restless curiosity into her eyes. Voice, she said, in the voice of an eager little kid. Plus body, she gestured with the whole bouncing shape of herself, plus the feeling on the inside. Then she softened all of it back down to plain, steady face. That's how you become someone for a while. Curtin watched the whole small transformation and back. And what about the shaking? He asked. The nerves before you step out where everyone can see. Everyone feels those, Faye said simply. Even you, I'd bet. The nerves aren't a sign you can't do it. They're a sign it matters. Curtin nodded once. You belong here, he said.
Face's workshop had a big mirror on one wall, and a shelf of character masks she almost never used. They were just there to remind her that becoming someone else was a craft,
not a disguise. A young actor came in one afternoon, pale and clammy-feathered, clutching a script. "I have my lines," he said, "but tonight when I go on, I know I'm going to forget one. My heart's already pounding, and it's not even showtime. Something's wrong with me." Face knew that pounding. She'd felt it before her own first show. "Show me your character," she said. "Not the lines, the person. How do they stand?" He thought, then squared his shoulders and lifted his chin. "How do they talk?" Slow, sure of themselves. His voice came out steadier than before. "What do they want, right now, in the scene?" To convince his friend not to leave. "Then you're not going to forget," Face said, "because the words aren't in your memory. They're in him. Stand like him, talk like him, want what he wants, and the lines come from the inside, where they can't fall out." She let that sit. "And if one does fall out, you stay him. You say what he would say and keep going. The audience almost never notices. Nobody in the crowd has the script." "But my heart." "Your heart's going to pound," Face said, kind and certain. "Mine still does. The trick was never to stop being nervous. The trick is to be nervous and walk out there anyway. That's not weakness," she smiled. "That's the bravest part of the whole craft." The young actor let out a long, shaky breath, and Face watched a little of the color come back into his feathers.
Later, when the room was empty, he came back with one more question, quieter this time. "When it's over," he said, "and the nerves finally stop, does it ever feel like the buzzing meant I wasn't ready? Like a real actor wouldn't feel it?" Face thought about the robin's mourning in her chest and the pounding before her own first show and her grandfather's slow, warm voice. "No," she said. "The buzzing means you cared enough to be scared. Every actor who ever lived has stood in the wings with a hammering heart, and the good ones just went out anyway." She touched the little mirror. That jittery, wide awake, about to happen feeling, that's not something gone wrong in you. That's you, all lit up, right on the edge of becoming someone else. It's the most alive feeling there is. He nodded slowly, and she watched the fear ease out of his shoulders, the same way, years ago, hers had. She didn't say the rest out loud, but she felt it, steady and warm. The nerves never really leave. You just stop being ashamed of them. And once you do, they start to feel like courage.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Face. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.